hello, hello. This is Tamika Peters, President and CEO of Grow Your Nonprofit, where we help startups, small and stagnant nonprofits grow through fundraising strategies, strategic planning, and so much more. Guys, today you're in for a treat. I have my special guest here, Marie. She is the founder and CEO of Taste of Immokalee. She'll share with you why she started her nonprofit and how she's growing it. But before we get started, I'd like to thank the sponsors of my podcast, Trinity Life Foundation Naples, helping at-risk youth through their enrichment programs, AVID. That stands for the Associations of Haitians Living Abroad. They just opened an amazing support center right here in the beautiful Fort Myers, where they will help you with immigration support, English as a second language, and utility billing. Vaxtruce. They received a grant from the CDC to raise awareness of COVID-19 and vaccine resources in the Black and Brown communities. Best Insurance USA, your provider of health insurance, and so much more. Last but not least, Premier Mobile Health Services, your route to better health. So, guys, like I said, my special guest here, Marie. How are you doing, Marie?
I am doing good. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak to your guests and grow your nonprofit. And thank you again.
Thank you. So I think this interview is way overdue.
I know.
I've been knowing you for a ton of years.
Yeah.
A ton of years. We always cross paths and never really sat down to talk to get to know each other. So I'm happy that we're able to do this today. Under the creative circumstances in the studio, but we make it work, right?
We get lemons
and we make lemonades. So before we get into the interview, can you please share with our audience a little bit about yourself, your background and experience, and then how you founded your nonprofit and why?
Yes, my name is Marie Capita, and I am the executive director of our nonprofit is called Tasty Impact, and our retail side is called Taste of Immokalee. And we started off, and this year's going to mark our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. That is so awesome.
It is. And it started with a nonprofit originally from Immokalee called One by One, and they wanted to teach high school students entrepreneurship.
Wow.
Entrepreneurship and skills development that would help them in the workforce, because to them, that was their way of finding their way, cycle out of poverty.
Yeah.
And education was the way to go it. And so they started their own company.
Wow.
And created products that are being sold in Publix and other little retail stores around. We have a lot of stores in Fort Myers that sell our products. And these students, as they are running the company, they're learning the soft skills that they need to enter the workforce. And so I am an attorney by trade. I practiced for 15 years. And so I decided that to pivot and do something that was more fulfilling. I didn't like the courtroom. I didn't like being adversarial. So I joined the nonprofit world.
Wow. That's amazing. Following your passion is very important because, excuse me, that's what life is all about.
It is.
It's not about the money. It's not about the title. It's really about service amongst before self. And that really... That's really fulfilling.
It is fulfilling because when you see the impact that you're making on students, and it's amazing. It is amazing to see a student that, you know, walked into your office, didn't even have the confidence, and then walk out of it, you know, entering the world as now they're CPAs, they're married, and they're being successful. So that's something that you see that you're making an impact on the world.
Right. So let's go back 10 years ago. You started the nonprofit. What did you quickly realize a nonprofit was?
Nonprofit had to be a labor of love.
Yes. Because the money doesn't always show up at first, because I work with a lot of startup nonprofits, and they think that as soon as they get their nonprofit status, they are eligible to apply for grants, and that people are just going to flock and just donate money to you.
That is not the case at all. We were fortunate because we started it, our for-profit, before we started the nonprofit.
Mm.
And so, and it was another nonprofit that was supporting the for-profit. But then afterward, that nonprofit said, you know what, fly, create. And that was the best thing that they could have done for us, because at the time I was like, oh my gosh, you know, they were our funding source. And yeah. so now yeah. we had to find and create our mm-hmm. own, mm-hmm. create our own space in the mm-hmm. nonprofit world. At first it hurt.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like scary, but I think at the end of the day, it was the best thing. It was a growing pain. And mm-hmm. Now 10 years later, I look back, I said, you learn a lot along
yeah.
the way,
yeah.
a lot of best practices. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer of reaching out to people.
Oh yeah.
I have no problem picking up the phone. I need help in this. How can you help mm-hmm. me? Because collaborating with other nonprofits, I don't like reinventing the wheel. If someone else is doing it, I will supplement mm-hmm. our program with yours to make yours grow better. Some people don't like that. They think that you're intruding their territory. That's not my thing.
No.
So it took a lot, especially in the space that we are in Naples. I mean, there's a lot of bigger.
Yeah.
I said there's 100-pound gorillas.
Right, right.
That takes the whole atmosphere.
Yeah.
So you have to find your own niche mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. identify yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to pivot to, you know, okay, let me do this. Maybe I will be like them. No.
No.
If you do that, you'll be pivoting for the rest of your
right,
life.
Right, right.
So you have to stay true to your mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe. I said, you know what? Even if someone was to say, Marie, I'll give you $1 million to change your mission. I don't think. Because the mission that we have now is that's my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So the mission that you're giving me the money for is your passion.
Right. Right.
So it's not going to move me.
Right. Anyway. Right.
So it was a hard learning experience. And now I'm learning it as an executive director. And I think it's making me a better leader mm-hmm. in our organization.
Mm-hmm. So what is your mission?
Our mission is to provide, our nonprofit is a workforce development.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide high school students, and also now we're going into the middle school, with soft skills development. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a true believer that even if you're a doctor, you're an engineer, different career paths, mm-hmm. you need the foundational soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
You need how to be professional,
mm-hmm.
time management,
mm-hmm.
how to work with your other colleagues,
right, right.
teamwork, collaboration, public speaking. And a lot of the time people think that, okay, if I go to a career, let me teach them careers. You could teach them careers, but they yeah. will never be successful. It's yeah. like a doctor with no bedside manner.
Right, right.
Okay. Yes, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
You have that status. But you know what? You won't have patients if you don't have the bedside
right,
manner.
Right, right.
So we're teaching them the bedside manner yeah. to be successful in mm-hmm. their careers.
Uh-huh. And that's very important, because not only your career, if you're an entrepreneur, because me as an entrepreneur, if I could produce great products for my clients all day, but if they don't like me, they're not
exactly.
going to do business with me. They're not going to refer business to me, because my business is built on referrals.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't treat every one of my clients like $1 million, they're not going to stay with me.
Exactly.
And it's harder as a for-profit and nonprofit. In the case of nonprofits, and you have the social enterprise, it's more expensive to acquire a new donor or a new customer than it is to acquire a new, right? So you should focus and assess on what you have and build upon that.
Exactly. And I tell people, I said, if you put a label and say, Marie, you are a fundraiser person, you are a philanthropist,
mm-hmm.
I'll be like, no, it's not. I can do it without the label.
Right.
I can do it because I don't feel like I'm pressured to do it.
Right.
But it's your personality that really right. makes you do it.
Right.
It's when donors come and they see how passionate,
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
impact you're making. And I tell people, like the other day, and it took me 10 years to learn this, and it was a board member that says, Marie, you know what? When you sit with new donors or people who are learning about the program, ask them first, before you even delve into
mm-hmm.
it, what return on investment are they looking for?
Because
mm-hmm. it might not be the same return on investment that you're giving back.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fine, because long time ago, I used to think, like, when you write a grant and they said
yeah.
no, it used to hurt me right here. It used to be like, okay, they don't like our program. What
yeah.
are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
It was like, I was taking it personal.
Personal, yeah.
And I'm like, it's not a personal thing. Everyone has their own
right.
return on investment.
Right, exactly.
Maybe this donor wants you to serve 1,000 kids.
Right.
We're not capable of serving 1,000
right.
kids. Because 1,000 kids would mean that we're diluting our program.
Exactly.
We're not making the same impact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. for them to see we don't have the same mission. And so, but it took me 10 years to. I just have to align myself with donors and funders and volunteers that has the same mission, the same ROI as we do. And it's been working fine like that.
Right, right. And I know when I work with my clients, they a lot of them, the startups, they say, well, we want to start raising money now. And I say it's a marathon, not a sprint. I don't feel comfortable asking people for money. You're not asking people for money for yourself. You're asking people for money for your mission. Mm-hmm. And you're asking people for money for your programs and services. And it's not really asking money. You first build the relationship. You get the donor excited about you. And then they ask how they can help. And it kind of happens naturally.
It does. It happens. You have to cultivate your relationship.
Right, right.
And a lot of people, they go for the juggler. They don't cultivate the relationship. Yeah. And people can read you.
Right.
They can read if you just see a checkbook. They can read. Because I never look at people as a checkbook. I want you to get excited, like you said, about the program. Excited about helping the students. Excited about the impact that we're making. Because as I look back at our retail side is still one of the main resources of work-based internship for high school students in Collier County. We hire over 30 students each year with work-based paid internships. For a student-run and student-led company, that is amazing, which is a small business. We're not a big corporation. And it's with donors' money that we're able to pay them the internship. Because I tell them, in the real world, you don't work for free.
Right.
You can't ask these students to work in a for-profit company for free. What lesson are you giving them?
Yeah, yeah.
So I look back and I say, we are making an impact. We are doing something. We're helping them. And learn by experience. And I tell people, you see, they're earning and they're learning. And so that's what our retail side does.
And also we always preach diversified funding. You mentioned when you were a startup, before you branch out on your own, you had one source of funding. And that always scares me, especially when I work with clients and I see their only source of funding are grants. That's scary. Or their main source of funding is events. And as we know, during the pandemic and during hurricanes, we live in Florida, all those events get canceled. And now we have to lay off staff, or we're not able to impact as many people because we're not having those transactional things. Those transactional things, they're a must to keep your name out there. But the follow-up, what do you do after the event, is very important. So what I really like about your program is a social enterprise. So earned income. Earned income is always important to have that entrepreneurial side of your nonprofit. Then, of course, your grants and then your donors. And if you have like a signature event or two, that's very important. So best practices, you mentioned best practices. Can you share with our audience maybe your top three best practices that you learned, that you implemented and helped to grow your nonprofit?
I think the number one thing is don't be afraid to reach out to people. Don't see other nonprofits as your competition. Learn from what they're doing. And if it's a good thing, don't be afraid to implement it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a way of you looking out for the people you're serving instead of looking out for your own interest. And then another thing, like you said, having one funder, it is a scary reality. And that's why it is our ultimate goal to make our retail side our sustainability for our nonprofit. That's our main objective. Because then now, although we would count, we would go after other funders, but we don't have to be dependent on them. And so donors and funders look at that. It's like, if I'm not here today, what are you going to do tomorrow? So you have to try to find other avenues of sustainability and so forth. And collaboration. Collaboration and programs. Because our nonprofit, we don't have a big brick and mortar. We don't have, so we collaborate. We're a partnering organization. We partner with different organizations and we bring our teachers to you to deliver our programs. Because the overhead is really in the brick and mortar. I don't have $7 million to cover brick and mortar. But yet that money that we do have, we could put it in the service that we provide to people. So that is the number one. If you can, sometime I say fluff looks good.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot from your program.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very important. Very important. You know, some of the nonprofit models that I really like are your Goodwills of the World, hence the thrift store, but they have more than that. But that's what they're primarily known for. But another one that sticks out for me that I'm aware of, St. Matthew's House. They have the thrift stores, they have a car wash, cafe, catering services, and they have housing as well. And they continue to expand. And I used to shop at their thrift store, and their thrift store even have reward programs.
I know.
Where they send you text messages and emails about, I'm like, wow, this is genius. That and I wish more nonprofits would follow. I mean, they can't follow at that scale, but diversifying and being entrepreneurial is what I like, really like about the program. Another thing I don't see a lot of in Southwest Florida that I try to raise awareness of is plan giving. Opening an endowment for your nonprofit and having the plan giving program so that you're intentional about asking your donors to leave your nonprofit and your estate plans. Because as we know, within the next, I would say, 15 to 20 years, there'll be a shift in wealth where the grandparents and the baby boomers will be passing on the wealth. And when it goes to their children or grandchildren, your nonprofit may not be something that they're passionate about and go somewhere else. So getting in those plans early, having a gift acceptance policy, having an endowment in place, and setting up a policy like a percentage of your net income going into that endowment, and having a goal of building it up to a certain point where 30% of your income is coming from the interest principal from your endowment is very important. So I told you the time goes by fast. So we're down to just a few minutes. If you can give advice to a nonprofit that's starting up, or one nonprofit that is seem to be stagnant and they're not growing, what advice could you give them?
I would say give yourself time. I usually say Rome was not built in a day.
I say that all
and the time. A lot of the time we're like, oh my God, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You just have to let it happen. Mm-hmm. And my favorite, and my friends will usually say, Marie, what is be still.
Be still.
Be still and listen.
Okay.
Be still. And sometimes we think that, you know, I'm a firm believer that our plan is not always his plan. Be still.
Yeah.
And it will work.
Yeah.
And everyone would tell you that's Marie's favorite thing. Mm-hmm. You can see the world crumbling. Oh my God, where's the next? Be still.
Yeah.
And listen to it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes our mind is running at such a big pace that we're not listening. Mm-hmm. We're not following. We're not seeing the direction that we're supposed to go. And so it's hard.
Yeah.
But because you're like, oh my God, you're in panic mode.
Yeah.
But trust.
Yeah. You have to trust the process, especially
trust the process.
When me stepping away from my good government job with benefits.
Oh, yeah.
And then stepping away from a salary, going into starting the business with no clients and no money,
benefits.
No benefits. I didn't have benefits up until a couple of years ago. Yeah. And wishing that nothing ever happened, and God bless me, nothing ever happened. But it is part of trusting the process. Say, Tamika, if this is something you really want to do, you're gonna have to trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that footprints.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to trust me, and then I had to learn to trust him, and know that he has something for me. I think things are going pretty good for me.
Exactly.
And
that's the thing. Sometimes we're in panic mode.
Yeah.
And so today, this is our mission. Tomorrow, because today it didn't work tomorrow. And so you spend 10 years of changing and changing.
Right.
Whereas if you had stayed your path, you would have grown
to
where you're supposed to be.
So Marie, we really enjoyed you. You have to come back sometime.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. If someone wanted to donate $1 million to you, how would they reach you? If you could please share with our audience your website and telephone number.
Our telephone number is 239-297-6814. And my email is marie@tastetheimpact.org.
Thank you again.
And thank you very much for having
me. You're welcome. So guys, I hope you learned something here from Marie. 10 years in the business. I love her model that it is a social enterprise where they have a retail site and their goal is to have most of their funding come from that. They have donors, they go after grants, but it's diversified funding, which is very important because as we know, things change all the time and we want to have multiple sources of income, not just in our professional life and our business, but in our personal life. We always want to diversify. That's very important. So I hope you learned here something from Marie today. What stuck out were the best practices, collaborating with other nonprofits. And you don't have to feel like you're in competition because that's the only way that you could level up. In order to elevate, sometimes you delegate and collaborate. That's very important. So this is Tamika. Don't forget to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And don't forget the Grow Your Nonprofit merch on our Etsy store. Please stay tuned for more Grow Your Nonprofit podcast episodes. Introducing the Grow Your Nonprofit merch in our Etsy store. So go on over to our Etsy store today and explore our collection. Pick your favorites. By doing so, you're not only elevating your style, but also contributing to the Grow Your Nonprofit mission. Thank you for being part of our community and thank you for your dedication to making a difference. We appreciate your support and we can't wait to see you rocking our Grow Your Nonprofit merch. Now stay tuned for more empowering content on Grow Your Nonprofit podcast. And until our next time, keep growing and keep giving.